Welcome once again to the 25-Minute Message. My name is Don Wyatt. I'm the General Manager here at AM 1220 KPJC in Salem, Oregon. We are heard streaming live at thejctown.com. And as I explained last week in our Christian Question section of the program, JC used to stand just for Jesus Christ, but it's kind of evolved and taken on a bigger meaning than that. It now means Judeo-Christian. Now, what does that mean? In addition to Jesus Christ, Judeo-Christian means we care about and appreciate our roots in Judaism and in Christianity, but we find both to be incomplete, and we want to know the original intent of Scripture as our Father, our Abba Yahweh, intended it to be. Our experience doesn't count, our understanding doesn't count. What counts is the context of the Scripture and Scripture alone, especially understanding that Scripture interprets Scripture. That means the first books carry the most weight, and that means we interpret the later books by the first books. So with that in mind, if your understanding of your Father, Yahweh, has been changed a little bit over the years, wouldn't you want to know if you're living in deception, maybe even a little bit? Because you're either going to find out now as you explore it yourself, or you're going to find out on Judgment Day when you stand before Him. I'm sure you've all heard the story of a man who was in this great flood and he was stuck on his rooftop in the middle of the river. Well, one rescuer came by and said, "Hey, I've got this rowboat, jump down." But the stranded man said, "No, I'm waiting for God to save me, you go ahead." A short time later, a man in a raft came by and said, "Come on, I can save you, jump in." Of course, the response was the same, "I'm waiting for God to save me, go ahead, go by." Well, finally, the rescue helicopter came from the National Guard and threw down a ladder and said, "Jump on, we can save you." But he said, "Oh no, don't worry about it. God's going to save me. You go ahead and help somebody else who doesn't have as much faith as I do." Well, of course, eventually the man died and went to heaven and stood before the Father. And he said, "Why didn't you save me? I believed you would." And the Father replied, "Well, I sent a rowboat, a raft, and a helicopter, and you didn't take any of them." Well, I think that's exactly where most of us are in our walk today. We tend to believe in the Bible in the way we want, how we want, the times we want, the seasons we want, anything we want. It's not about Him. It's mainly really about us, if we're honest. That's why things have changed here at AM 1220 KPJC. It's because we don't want you to miss the boat.
We want to make sure you know that not only can you be saved, but that you can live in a safe, obedient place all of your life. It's really easy for us to get off track, and even the slightest deviation from the directions we've been given makes a difference. Well, around 6,000 years ago, our Father Yahweh designed this universe with a plan to form a people that would be like Him, His children. And we were supposed to learn the rules of His house, to follow His instructions, and become obedient trainees so that we could one day rule and reign with Him. Right? We have to be trained. Don't you train your children and grandchildren too? None of us can know what's right without proper instruction. In order to build the character traits of mercy and long-suffering and all the rest of the Beatitudes in us, He allowed an adversary to tempt us, knowing that we would fail repeatedly, but expecting us to try again. And we really haven't let Him down over the centuries, have we? We've failed over and over. And when we get off track, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to look to Him, to His ways, to His guidelines, to His rules, to His instructions, to get us back on track. He even sent us a Savior to show us the way from the beginning of time. Yeshua is there all throughout Scripture to help us get back to where we were supposed to be, to co-pilot us, if you will. I'm going to give you an illustration here. Unfortunately, time really is the ally of deceit, and this is what I mean by that. I'm sure you've heard of this story before, or something similar to it. A spaceship begins on a long journey from Earth to Mars, let's say. It takes years to get there, and the precise directions have to be followed, or the entire planet will just be missed. In fact, being off course even a 100th of a degree, or a 1,000th of a degree, will result in missing the mark by thousands of miles and being lost in space, perishing in oblivion. That's why course adjustments have to be made along the way. The pilot has to look back to the original instruction manual to see what was the original course and what did the designers and engineers have laid out for him. Well, that's exactly what has happened with us in our faith in Yahweh. We've even lost His name. We've lost what He told us to call Him. We've lost His instructions, brothers and sisters. And while much of our trip is intact, we have the spaceship, hopefully. We're in the right direction, hopefully. But something has gone off just a little bit, and it's resulted in a trip that's way off course. Didn't we all start off wanting to be reconciled to our Father Yahweh? Isn't that why we accepted Yeshua in the first place? He sent us Yeshua to make sure that we boarded the right spacecraft so that we would take the right trip. Yeshua gave us his Holy Spirit to navigate the system. He gave us his word, his instruction manual, if you will, to make sure we always knew the right course so that we didn't get lost in oblivion by a couple degrees. If we take the whole first book of the Bible, what we call the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, the Torah, and we relegate them to children's stories and poetry, unfortunately, like much of current church practice does, haven't we tossed out the fundamental platform of our faith as irrelevant to our journey? How many degrees off course do you think we are if we read the back of the instruction manual, but choose not to use the front part of the book that has the basic information the designer gave to us for our benefit and for our direction? Do we really think our designer is so capricious and arbitrary as to write something as important as commandments to us, and then change his mind and start over mid-trip, deciding that what he originally designed wasn't perfect enough or wasn't good enough after all? I don't think so. Do we really think that he had to start over and redesign his ship and change his plans and recreate his training plan for us mid-journey while in flight? That's what many New Testament brethren believe. That's what many New Testament brethren have been taught. But thousands are being awakened right now, even as they listen to this radio station, to wonder why things seem to be so off course, why they don't fit together, why their faith just seems a little tweaked. As Jeremiah 16:19 says, we really have been taught lies over the centuries. That's what the adversary has done to get us just off course a little bit. What better deceit would there be than to put us in church, give us a form of religion without the power, tell us that we don't have to follow the instructions of our Father, of our Designer, of our Maker, but let us think that we are in right standing and sanctified and holy, and that we are in a right place before Him. Now that sounds like the enemy, doesn't it? And it's our responsibility to adjust our course according to the owner's manual, isn't it? Oh, I can say for sure that a lot of us don't like it. We like our funny, well-educated pastors who have their three songs and announcements, 3 points and a poem and a closing hymn. In fact, it's down to an art form just about of giving us what we want to hear so that it fits into our religion. It fits into our faith. It fits into what we know. We like to hear the people who we grew up with on TV or on radio. We don't like change. We don't like new people. We don't like to have to understand that maybe for 50 or 60 years of believing, we didn't have the whole story down right. But like the pilot of the spaceship, it's up to us to go back to the beginning to make sure and do what the designer originally intended for us, to check the owner's manual, to find out exactly what we're supposed to be doing as his children. Are we following his instructions? Are we being obedient to his commandments? Or have we chosen our own path and said, those were for another time. We don't have to do what our Father said we should do to get to him. In the way he said, in the time he said, in the place that he said, in the manner that he has said. We tend to choose our own path, don't we? It's certainly for our own good that we don't throw out part of the instruction manual. Because if we choose our own way, then we are rebellious, prodigal children. We are lawless children. And we know that in the end times, the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist, is called the man of lawlessness. Do you think it's a coincidence that we belong to fellowships that say we no longer need to follow the laws of our Father? You know, and I always like to preface my comments by saying that even though traditional evangelical Christianity has a myriad of faults, and that's what many of us have come away from, Christianity did introduce us and bring us to this point in history, in particular that it introduced us to our Savior, to our Messiah, Yeshua, or Jesus. And so if I ever say, or if it ever sounds like I'm saying that everything in Christianity should be thrown out the window, or that it was a worthless time, or that it didn't serve its purpose, that would be a misinterpretation of what I'm saying. Because where we've all come from, what we have experienced, and where we're going all fit together into what we are becoming. And so it's important that we don't just absolutely automatically say, you're wrong, this is wrong, get it right, what's your problem? But remember that as some of us took years to come across, to become a Hebrew, that's what Hebrew means, crossing over, that we are patient with each other and we're patient with those who don't have a clue what we're talking about. And I would say the same thing in Judaism, in particular rabbinical Judaism, where the rabbis have great wisdom and great knowledge, but also much of what they have to teach is just from tradition. Now, many of those teachings and many of those traditions are based on the word of Yahweh, the Bible, on the scriptures, on the Torah and the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and they've found ways to develop rituals or patterns of practice, things that would benefit those who are reading the scriptures. So do we want to automatically throw out everything they say? No. In both cases, that's why the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is so important. Because of the days we're in, because of the times that we're in, we know that we don't stand a prayer. We don't stand a chance if we're trying to do this on our own. And if we're trying to do things, go through a tribulation that's coming without having direct guidance from our Father. I read a report this week that was sent to me, and I do welcome your emails at don@thejctown.com, whether it's about current events or prophecy, whether it's about the Torah or the Tanakh or scripture interpretations and so on. Please write to me. I'd love to have your input on what's going on. But this particular email talked about the health care package that was passed. And, of course, we know that everyone's going to be mandated to have national health care. Well, hidden in that bill is a provision that you must also take a chip, an identity chip that will give your medical condition, your family background, and everything that would be needed if you were in trouble and nobody knew who you were. Well, that's very convenient, isn't it? Because we know that there's going to be a time where it's difficult to buy and sell. And there's a program on the station here. It's at 4 p.m. on Thursdays. It's called Come Out of Her, My People with Mark Call. And it's 4 p.m. Pacific time, West Coast time. Mark is someone who has advocated for a long time that you shouldn't take things from the government. You know, how are you going to get away from the government? I mean, he's pretty extreme at it, even on marriage licenses and driver licenses and birth certificates and all kinds of things. He says pay to the government the taxes that are legally, lawfully supposed to be paid. But he's got a very valuable message that I hope you all listen to. We can't continue to take welfare and support checks. We can't continue to take checks from the government. And frankly, it won't be there for very much longer, whether it's a Social Security payment, a welfare or food stamps kind of a situation, whether it's a veterans benefit. All these things are going to go away. Just like the children of Israel in the desert, they had to learn to rely on Abba, on our Father. That's why you're listening to this station. That's why KPJC exists, both on the air and over the internet at thejctown.com. You aren't going to get pablum here at all. And while all of us love Chuck Swindoll and Jack Hayford and Charles Stanley and some of the others, you can hear those anyplace. We're giving you truth that you won't hear anyplace else because of different agendas, values, and understandings. What we're doing is preparing you for a time to come and preparing you to become a nation. You are a nation right now of Hebrews, and you don't know it. Those who have crossed over, especially if you're a Christian believer, you don't know yet who you are, who you were created to be. But I remind folks that Yeshua, or Jesus, said that he didn't come but to seek the lost sheep of Israel. And if we look at that statement and we understand that, wow, maybe I'm not just a Christian believer. Am I missing a whole part of what I was intended to be? If he only came to save, or to seek, I should say, if he came to seek out the lost Israelites, then either I'm an Israelite or I'm not included in the covenants of Israel. And I don't think we want to be excluded from Yeshua's covenants, do we? I want to encourage you to go to the website, t2tn.com. This would be on Thursday the 15th with Rico Cortez. Step by step, he talks about the covenant of Abraham and the 9 parts of that covenant and how it's relevant for our belief today as New Testament believers, or those who have included the New Testament in what we believe, so that we can have a fuller and a more filled up life according to Yahweh's plan for us. We also had a really interesting show this week with Maureen Messer. She's the wife of Rabbi Ralph Messer of Simchat Torah Bet Midrash in Colorado. And what came out of that conversation to me was that there are a lot of areas in our faith that aren't being addressed as they are in the Christian radio world, for example. After the show, I received several emails from people, especially, in fact, actually all women, who were saying that they needed
resources on helping to raise their family or to bring their family up in a Hebraic understanding, to bring their family up, to raise their children in a Hebraic understanding, according to the Bible, not according to the traditions we've learned and not according to the experience that we've had with our parents or what we've read out of a Dr. Spock book or something, or seen on television. But how do we really take the Torah, ingrain it into our children, to teach them the traditions and the habits that they're supposed to develop in order that they can grow up to be Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled people of understanding who can listen to the voice of their father and act out those things, and people who have in their heart that they want to follow the rules and the ordinance of Yahweh because they know there's nothing outside. Well, we can start doing that with our children now, or we can wait until the tribulation teaches them, because we're all going to be taught during that time, Jacob's trouble. So my question to you is, ladies, what kind of things would you like to know? What kind of things would be helpful to you as far as radio programming? Would it have, for example, on the Sabbath? How do we celebrate the Sabbath? What kind of preparation needs to be done? Especially a lot of people who are new might have some need for that valuable information. Just what does my family do on Sabbath? When the Moedim or the appointed times, the festivals come around, how do we prepare for those? Is this the day we cook, the day we don't cook? Just these simple things. Would you let me know if it would be helpful to you if we had some ladies that maybe had a program or had a lady on the morning show Torah to the Nations that would help answer those kinds of questions? And then also, what other kinds of things would be helpful? How about kosher cooking or whole foods, marriage issues, and so on? I really welcome your input and want to know what makes you a better Hebrew. Men also, if there are some things that are more attuned to what you need, how to be a good Hebraic husband. You know, one of the things that we do, a lot of people get into this Hebraic movement and think that it's okay for a man to become a tyrant and lord his position over his wife and children. That is false teaching and false doctrine and has to be corrected because it can't stand in this nation. Just as Yeshua. What about a program on survival techniques, how to store food, where to find game, how to acquire water? It's time for us to start thinking about other things like our own monetary system, our own education system, our own system of commerce, barter and trade with each other, and even perhaps our own government. Now, why would I say that we shouldn't be part of this world system? Well, it's because that's what the Bible says. We have to learn to rely on our Father Yahweh instead of all the things around us that want to take His place. Learn to give up the things that are here to trade them in for something better. Everything's really very upside down from what we've learned growing up and in our past. Our national constitution is the Word of Yahweh. Our personal guide work for life, our playbook, is the Torah. We don't need any psychologist to tell us how to live. We don't need education to tell us how to act. We don't need government to tell us to come against our God. We have a way without being rebellious against our government, but to honor the words of Yahweh. Above everything else, He is our government. He is our provision. He is our medicine. He is our lover. He is our lawgiver. He is our educator. He is everything. What we're really talking about is being in the world, but not of the world. A nation within many nations. That might be a little shocking and a little bit hard at first, but that's where we're headed. The bottom line is, either we can believe Scripture and believe what our Father says and what's going to happen to us, or we can minimize, rationalize, and compromise with Scripture and make it say whatever we want it to say, just like the church has always done. If you're tired of religion, join us on KPJC and become part of an eternal nation, Judah and Ephraim, reconciled together as the people of Israel, as a Hebrew nation. I learned an interesting thing from Rico Cortez this week. I learned that when you say the word God, it has a different meaning to Judah or the Jews. To them, it means that Jesus is Father God. When we say Jesus or Yeshua is God, we're saying that Jesus is the same person as Father God. And of course, we know that's a problem because Scripture says that He is Echad, that Yahweh is one. So we really have to examine some of the things. And the teaching that I told you about earlier with Rico Cortez on TorahToTheNations.com is really essential. I hope you'll go back and listen to that again. Now, let me give you a quick update about the on-air station and where we are, whether we're going to be able to keep it open or not. At this time, we have commitments for about maybe 40 to 50% of the revenues that have to come in here in order to keep the doors open for the on-air broadcast station. And I know a lot of people think, boy, Don must be really stressed about this, or he must be feeling bad. I'm not. Whatever Yahweh decides is exactly what I want. If for no other reason, because I want to be an example of what it looks like to trust Yahweh in what appears to be a really dismal situation. On the other hand, we do have the opportunity to go online on satellite and on the internet, and we'll help all of you who are listening to be able to keep in contact with us so that you can get the best in Hebraic prophetic teaching and end-time information. You're our family. You are our mishpacha. We want to make sure that we're in contact with you no matter what. Send us your email at don@thejctown.com, or you can call us with your contact information, 503-316-1220. Hebrews are starting to listen to this station because we're unique in all the world. It's amazing that there are literally people from 40 different nations listening to us on the satellite and on the internet. In fact, over 40 now. So we know that we have to provide the word of Yahweh. We have to provide the truth. And we're going to figure out how to do it because we want to be servants to Yahweh above all else. Well, our time's running short, but I want to make sure that you remember, if you get nothing else out of this 25-plus minute message, remember to be flexible. Remember that we are in a progression of understanding, that we're not going to get everything at the same time, but as we are obedient, we're going to understand more. So if you're happy where you are in your church, fine, stay there. If you think there's more that you want to be a part of at the end of the age, then be obedient. Remember, Yeshua said that what is to come is greater than that which came before, even referring to himself, that we would do greater miracles than he did, and that those who came after John the Baptist would be greater than even John the Baptist. I want you to remember, as we walk this journey out together, there's nothing more important than our King. There's nothing more important than the people that he has put in our family of Hebrews. Remember Revelation 12:17. Who are those people who are here in the end times? It's those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. I want you to take a minute to think about that in your life. What's more important than the commandments and the testimony and the people who are keeping them? I know that many of you in the Christian Evangelical Church and Mormons and Catholics are listening to this, as well as some of our brothers from Judah. Now, Judah doesn't have to be told this, but the rest of you do. And you're asking, how do I start? What's the first thing I do? If you want to be obedient, if you love Yeshua, and you want to keep his commandments and show him that you love him by doing so, then what should you do? Let me help you. Let me start you out with something. The first time you're obedient, the very first time that you say, yes, Father, I don't get it, but I'm going to do it, you're going to get more revelation as a reward for your obedience. This does not necessarily have to do with your salvation. If you have claimed the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus, and said, he is the only way that I can be reconciled with the Father, then you are saved. However, obedience says that you love him. I would suggest to you that the first step you can take is to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. It's mentioned over and over and over in Scripture as being the thing that he recognizes as a sign of his covenant, from Friday night sundown to Saturday night at sundown. It's simple. Now, my personal belief is that there is another way to recognize Sabbath, but this isn't the time or the place to enter into that discussion. Suffice it to say, keep the seventh-day Sabbath because it's in Scripture and you want to be obedient. You may not know how to do it. Don't feel so bad. Nobody knew what to do when they started out unless you came from that culture. We are going to make mistakes, just like little children, But don't worry, the Father is so patient with us. He appreciates that we're working towards being obedient. Sabbath is simple. It's a time where we refocus our energies and our mind and our abilities and our actions on our Father. We worship Him, we praise Him, we love Him, we concentrate, we read His Word, we just spend time talking with Him. It's like nothing you've ever done before if you haven't done it. Take a walk with Him, relax with Him, learn from Him. If you're led to go to a Shabbat service, a Sabbath service, then go to that on Saturday. But don't do the normal things you do in your life. Don't do your yard work on the Sabbath. Don't go to sports games. Don't go to anything that would take away from your concentration on loving your Father. That's the simplest rule of all. Am I thinking about Him? Am I loving Him? Am I pursuing Him? Once you make what feels like a huge sacrifice of yourself and of your time and of your energy, things will begin to change for you, and you'll get the intimacy you've been desiring little by little. But all of a sudden, you'll realize that scripture that you learned before, that you saw before, has a different meaning. It has a different color to it. It has more fulfillment to it because you're looking at it from a different perspective than you were ever able to before. And it started with the simplest of obedience. Why do you want to take a chance to say the law was for then? Why wouldn't you want to obey your Father to show Him that you love Him? If you think any other way, then there's something wrong with your understanding of faith and obedience and love. The very first step to setting yourself apart is to set the Sabbath day apart. You set that day apart, and you start to set yourself apart and become separate from the world. It's a simple equation. So let me finish with this question. Do you reward your children when they're disobedient to you? Will you give them more privileges or less privileges? Will you give them more gifts or less gifts? Well, our Heavenly Father is exactly the same way. So take the chance, break the mold, get out of what you know, and get into what He knows and what He teaches. Thanks once again for being with me here on AM 1220 KPJC, streaming around the world at thejctown.com. I want to ask you to continue to pray for us. Continue to send in what support you can, or just do what Yahweh tells you to do, whether it's something you can do to volunteer or something else. Doesn't matter. Just be obedient to Him. But tell your friends about this station on the internet, thejctown.com. Listen to the live streaming feed. Help us to continue and build the Hebrew nation that is promised to us in Scripture, those people who are the end time believers, the end time survivors. My name is Don Wyatt, Don at thejctown.com. Shalom, everybody.
Hi, this is Don Wyatt with AM 1220 KPJC again, but this time I wanted to take a minute to thank you. Thank you so much for volunteering to help in so many, many ways. By cleaning the office, by helping with the bookstore, with computer helps, by answering phones or helping with the bookkeeping, learning the radio editing. Yes, of course, there are still many needs, and the crisis isn't over yet. But for those who are putting their talents and their efforts and their assets together to bless the family of Yahweh, I want to thank Yahweh for you. And for those who are still coming, the needs are still great. So feel free to call in at 503-316-1220. But I just wanted to take a second to say thank you. Thank you for responding the best way you can with your tithes, with your offerings, with your time, with your love. We really are becoming HaMishpucha VeYeshua, the family of Yahweh Yeshua, our salvation.